totally and completely.
And Lord, I just pray that as your word goes forth now, that they will know us at Calvary Chapel Elizabeth, that we are a body of believers that love one another and love you completely and wholeheartedly. Lord, teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might." But do we really do that? You see, this was the royal law written on the houseposts of the Jews, and they would write it down on expensive papyri, put it on the boxes of outside their homes, and then they would write it out and put it on their phylacteries, the little leather pouches that they would carry on their heads to remind them to keep God's word close to their heart. And in Matthew 22, where we're going to start today, turn with me to Matthew 22, 34, Jesus is reminded by the people, he reminds the people that this was the law, the royal law, the law of love, where they would love the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. Matthew 22 and in 34, the greatest commandment. "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" And of course, the lawyer was trying to trick him. And I don't want to bash lawyers, but isn't that their job? Is to get the subtleties and the hints and the laws and change them and twist them? And this lawyer, standing up and trying to twist Jesus' word, trying to trick him so that he could take him to the cross and crucify him. And Jesus said to him in 30, says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Jesus links this commandment to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind with, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And just as you love yourself, do you love yourself enough to take care of yourself? Do you get up? Do you make sure that your teeth are brushed, showered and clean? Do you make sure that you feed yourself? Take care of yourself. This is that kind of love that you, at least you love yourself and you take care of yourself so you love others. And this can be very difficult because when we try to love others in our own strength, it doesn't usually work out. Because you see, we got to love God first with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And this kind of love is unconditional. God loves us unconditionally. He loves you when you're in the depth of your trials. He loves you in the depths of your fears. He loves you when you know you're messing up. He's still there and He's still loving you. He loves you and He loves others and He wants everyone to come to a relationship with Him. But when we try and love in our own strength, we want to put conditions on our love. "I love you, honey, because you do this for me. You're so nice." Or that superficial love. "Love you, honey." Right? Meaning, "Get off the phone, I'm busy." Right? "I love you. I love you, my honey doll." But the problem is, we want to compartmentalize this love. It's like going to the cafeteria tray. You've been to the cafeteria lately? It's got the tray, and you got the dessert, and you got the main course, and you got the funky salad, and you got the dessert, and your little compartment for your juice box, right? We want to compartmentalize our love. And some of you are like that with your love, You don't like your food touching in any way. Don't like to have it all mixed up. Keep that separated. That's gross, right? Because on Sunday, you may come to church and you're going, you're getting filled up with the Spirit and you're going, "I did my Sunday thing. I got it checked off. I came to church. I'm feeling good." But on Monday, you're talking bad about your boss behind his back. Or on Wednesday, you're waving the bird at the person who cut you off, right? Or whatever you're doing, because you know what? We're compartmentalizing it. Or maybe you want to stay home on during the week because guess what? You've had too much Bible for this week. Or I don't want to come and enjoy fellowship with my brothers and sisters with all sorts of different things we're doing at church because my favorite program is on. Or maybe you get angry because your wife wants to go shopping and all you want to do is stay home because you have a plan to do a bunch of stuff. But then again, it's Sunday again and you come and go, oh, how I love Jesus! Isn't he great? Don't compartmentalize it. Because what we have done throughout the day represents what Jesus is in our life. How we act and what we say and being led by the Spirit shows others the love of Christ. And we don't compartmentalize it. So when we think about God and how much He loves us and we remember His great sacrifice for us, then we go and we live our life full of God's love. And naturally, how we treat other peoples will come out. How we love others. How they look and how they smell and their age and what they're doing and how many tattoos and how many piercings and what they're dressed like doesn't matter because we'll have the love of Jesus in us and we'll go, you know what? I got to stop and talk to that person and share with that person because the Lord looks at them and says, I love them. And that person doesn't know me. And I chose you to tell him or her about me. And that love is not compartmentalized like the tray in the cafeteria. It's like the turkey dinner leftover casserole, which is one of my favorites. You put it all together and it's all mixed up, isn't it? And you go, yummy, it's fantastic. Because what we have done this last week, what have you done this last week to show the love of God? What have you done? Have you asked someone how their walk was with Jesus? Really? Have you done that? Have you gone up to someone and just talked to them? How's your walk with Jesus? And confession is good for the soul. And as a pastor, there's so many opportunities that I know that I've missed. And the Lord really convicted me that life is way too short. You never know. To ignore that nudging of the Holy Spirit to go tell that person or talk to that person. Just 2 days ago, I was just walking through Safeway and going through and checking out and getting a few groceries and going through the line. And I'm going through the line, and there's a young man. And this young man starts staring at me and looking at me, and I just, okay. You know what? Did I clue on my collar or something? But I just went up and said, hi, my name's Jen Lockerbie. And he just went, whoa, I know you. Turned out to be a young man that I hadn't seen for about 10 years, but he grew up with my boys. And he joined the service when he graduated. He spent time in Afghanistan and just got talking to him. I said, oh, hey, Danny, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? And he said, well, I moved back home because my wife just left me. And the first thing out of my mouth was not, oh, you know, I'm sorry that. I said, well, how's your walk with Jesus? I usually don't do that. I go, you know, I said, how's your walk with Jesus? Well, not really good. I've been walking away. I haven't been doing that. I'll pray for you. Turn to Him. Come back to Him. I'll be talking to Him. Pray for this young man. That opportunity. You ask someone how their walk with the Jesus is. Maybe in my life it makes me sad and angry at myself because I miss so many opportunities. Because we need to tell others and show others the love of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're going, I'm fearful about it. What's people going to say? What are they going to talk? Oh, are you one of those crazy Jesus people? Okay, great. Or what? Are you, do you have the fear? Or maybe it's courage? Or maybe you don't feel you have the eloquence or the words to say? Just be led by the Spirit and ask Him. And watch God open the doors. Because when you are filled with His Spirit and talking about the Lord and loving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, then those opportunities naturally flow because the Lord wants to use you. Maybe this week have you prayed for someone else? Have you spent the time in praying for someone else? And not just, oh, yeah, you know, I'll pray for you. We've all done that, right? I'll pray for you. Have you stopped Right then and there, wherever you're at, in the middle of the dinner, in the middle of the grocery store, in the middle of Costco, and just prayed. There's no law that says you can't do that, is there? Yet? Okay? Pray. All right? Let's go. Speaking of prayer, life is so short and so fragile. Another thing that's happened this week is that many of you maybe know that as a young man, a pastor's son, Walt Rogers' son, Zach, fine young man, 20 years old, like 10 days ago, Thursday, just started getting feeling dizzy and stuff and took him to the hospital, and he's been in a coma for 10 days now. 10 days. And he's got encephalitis, which is a severe swelling in the brain, and he's got some sort of other bacterial infection in his bacteria. And I've been to the hospital a couple of times just watching him. I don't want to go in the room and touch him just because I had a cold and you have to put on all this. He's in the ICU for 10 days. 10 days. 10 days. Can you imagine a mom and a dad and a sister and a brother watching your 20-year-old brother or son praying each day to wake up, to wake up, to wake up, and he doesn't wake up? He's laying there and he's sweating. And you see him move a little bit. So keep him in your prayers that God can heal him and not take him home. Because the swelling of the brain can affect all sorts of things long term too. So you never know. You do not know how many hours and how many days and how many minutes you have. Only the Lord knows. So let's share the love of Jesus and let's tell others about Jesus and let's have about talk about that wonderful relationship you have with Him, because I know Pastor Walt and his family are trusting and relying on His strength, on Jesus' strength. And that is the strength and the hope that will get them through this. The Lord's will be done, whether He heals them or takes them home. Because you see that Jesus on the cross is the essence of the law. Hanging there with Him was the love of the Father. He loved the Father so much that He obeyed Him completely. He knew He was going through pain and suffering. He knew. And remember in the garden where He prayed, "If there's any other way, Father, but Thy will be done." And He went to the cross. He obeyed His will and He suffered, the perfect One who loved us and gave Himself for us. And I do all that as a background as we continue on in our study in James. Turn with me to James 4 and 11 and 12, where James is telling us about do not judge a brother. James 4 and 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? This law that judges law. The law that James is talking about is the law, the commandment that we love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. You see, if we speak evil against a brother or sister, we are breaking that law of love. And isn't that our way to want to slander? Slander? Speaking evil or a falsehood of someone comes, actually it's interesting, a root word comes from a variation of a word meaning diabolos, which means Satan, who is the father of what? Lies. So if you're speaking slander and critical and evil, right, it also means, another word, it can mean backbiter. Often we want to slander and backbite and complain and grumble because of something going on in our life. And don't we, as Christians, have a world where we want to criticize and grumble and complain against whatever is going on, against maybe the politics, against maybe the government, against maybe the stuff going on in our life, against maybe our situation? You know, man, gosh, I got to do all this stuff. It's going to cost me more money. What? I don't know. The main thing is when we want to follow the law, we love the Lord our God, all our might, all our soul, how much are we really trusting Him? We trust in Him completely. Doesn't He provide for us? Doesn't He take care of us? Isn't our strength found in Him? Thank you. It's true. Right? And when we get that, we know that the world is sinful and evil because Satan is called the ruler of this world anyway. And so our home's in heaven. And so as Christians, when we love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our might, we know that He was working things out for our good. Now, this slander, this accuser, this backbiter. Backbiter means it's also kathalos. Kathalos? Being catty. Being catty. Like, oh, you're with your friends and you're out and you're talking and, oh my, isn't she wonderful? And then as soon as she leaves, man, you see what she's wearing? Oh my gosh, I would never wear that. All that kind of stuff, right? So maybe kathalos comes from being catty. I don't know, but it could be. But we go into it. But our job as Christians is to love and let God be the judge. There's one lawgiver, and that is Jesus. So who has given us the right to criticize, the right to be God? That's what he's saying. Who are you to judge another? This love that we have, where the Word of God knits us together. 1 Peter 2:1 talks about how we can be in slandering others. Turn with me to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter 2:1 talks about how we're to get rid of all this stuff because of the evidence of our love for each other. The evidence for the love of God, the evidence for the love of each other is we put away these certain things, how we speak and how we treat each other and how we talk. 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? He is so gracious. His grace covers a multitude, and His love covers a multitude, and love covers a multitude of sins. The Word of God knits us together from different backgrounds and different likes. In Jesus, we have in common, knits us together from different backgrounds and different likes, different age groups, different ethnicities, that love of God. We're born of the same family. And so why we put all this stuff away? We put away the slow-burning anger of malice, where we can live our lives going, that person done me wrong, so I'm going to get back at him. And it doesn't matter if it happened last week or last year or some of us hang on to it for 10 years, 15 years. That person done me wrong. I'm going to get back at that person. Put that away, that slow-burning anger of malice. Or the trickery of deceit or guile, as other translations put it. Guile is deceit. Deceitful speaking. Trickering. Motivating others to do things that are wrong, or motivating others just to get gain for yourself. Trickery and guile. Or evil speaking, cussing and swearing and talking bad. Right? You know, that sort of thing. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you tasted and grow. Thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Some of us, when we drive home, like to stop at our favorite store. All depends what you're tasting for. Could be, I want some beef jerky. Could be, I want some crisps or potato chips and an iced tea. Could be, I'm going to stop and get that double cheeseburger, right? Or could be, you know, that big piece of chicken just before I go home because I'm hungry, I want to get it, I want it now, I'm going to go home. In the meantime, your loved one, whether it's the wife or the husband or your son or daughter, they can cook too, have a beautifully prepared meal for you at home. And when you get home, you go, oh, and you don't want to eat the whole meal because you're full already. The milk, pure desire of the Word. The pure milk. Some of us are filling up on junk. The Hollywood gossip, the latest rags by the grocery store. I don't even know what they are anymore, right? All that stuff, you look at them. Yeah, I used to read them all the time, though. But all that kind of stuff. Some of us are involved listening to the radio, fill our minds with all the political stuff that's going on. You know what? the Hollywood gossip or the trashy novels or the sports talk or whatever it is, rather than feeding on the pure spiritual milk of His Word. And so we stop going and getting that junk food, and we make sure we go home and we eat the full, nutritious, wonderful meal that someone has prepared for us. The Lord's prepared this wonderful, delicious meal of His Word. And without loving Jesus and loving others, why does the church exist anyway? Those are His commandments. Love me and love others. And we at Calvary Elizabeth, I pray that we are to love and serve Jesus and each other in a way that people will know us by our love. I want to go to Calvary Elizabeth. I want to be hanging out here because we love each other. And there's so many opportunities we can come to know each other by hanging out with each other. There's men breakfast, ladies tea. There's Thursday nights. There's Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights is wonderful. We come and we do a service, a worship service, and we read the words. But some of us don't come. I don't know why. There's other things going on. But we come, and when we come on Wednesday nights, we know each other, and we grow. And because we get to know one another and care for one another, and we get rid of the masks, and we get deeper in that relationship with each other. It takes effort. It takes time. But those are the commandments, to love God and to love others. And that's one of the goals we have. And some of us here, we get to be so apathetic or so wrapped up in ourselves that we don't see or follow the greatest commandments. Let's start living for Jesus and experience the deepest love that we could ever imagine. The love of God is so amazing because God's love is unconditional. It can't be earned because we want to work our way towards heaven or because we love it. We don't deserve it. It can only be received. His love is simply, I love you. I created you. I love you because of who He is. And He loves us even though people don't show love in return. Even though they reject Him. Even though they mock Him. Even though He's forgotten. Even though they want to take Him out of all sorts of different things. But guess what? The love of Jesus is in you. And you are His representatives, so let's share the love of Jesus. And people decide that He really loves me and will truly start living for Jesus. Even though God is ignored, He is demonstrating His love in amazing ways. The amazing way that I think of is in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His love towards us, that in while we are still sinners, He died for us. An amazing love. A wonderful love. A creator, all-powerful, wonderful, amazing, unfathomable Lord, dying for us. So we can have a relationship with Him in heaven, and we can have a home in heaven, and He can change us and mold us and make us into His Son's image. C.S. Lewis said this, though our feelings come and go, His love for us does not. It is not wearied by our sins or our indifference, and therefore, it is quite relentless in its determination that we shall be cured of those sins at whatever the cost to us, at whatever the cost to Him. That relentless pursuit of God, all because of His great love. You see, as we love God and love others, that's the greatest commandments we can follow. And it doesn't matter how much theology you know, or how much Bible you know, or how much Greek you can take it apart and tear it apart and put this. It doesn't matter. What matters if you don't love God, and if you don't love that person sitting next to you, or that person sitting on the street, or that person next to you in your cubicle, or that person that happens to be sitting beside you at school, if you don't love them as God loves them, it doesn't matter. Because Jesus tells us to help the world to see that I am alive by showing how much you love each other. And you will come across people, you will have your plans for the day, and you'll come across people that will interrupt your life. And you'll go, man, what is this about? Just close your door. Or you will go, you know what? This is God's appointed time. I love God. And rather than being annoyed, to think of it as an opportunity to demonstrate that love of Jesus. We're supposed to do that. To love others and to love God. So how much does God love you? Completely. Wholly. He allows you full access to His Father through Jesus Christ by placing your faith and trust in Him. He loves you. And it is when you get a doubt in your mind and you are fearful and you're not courageous and when you're not in His Word and you're not filled with the love of God that you start kind of wandering away. And Spurgeon says this, it is when you get a doubt the love of God that you grow hard and cold. But when you are fired with the love of a dying Savior who gave Himself for you, you feel as if you loved every beggar on the street. And you long to bring every harlot to Christ's dear feet. You cannot help it if Christ baptized your heart into His love, and you'll be covered with it and filled with it. You can tell how your walk with Jesus is going. It is how we're loving people. So how's your walk? Father, I just thank You for Your Word, and I just pray that each one of us here has a loving and great and wonderful relationship with You. Lord, You're so good to us. You sent Your Son, and You love us completely. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, all of us, are so fired up by Your love that we change the way that we think and change the way that we act. There's no greater love than those who will lay down their life for a brother or a sister. And Lord, You did that for us. And so we're amazed by Your love. And my prayer is that everyone at Calvary Chapel Elizabeth, and maybe people who can hear this on the internet, Lord, will learn to lay down their life, lay down their plans, lay down their goals and desires, lay down their dreams, and put their spouses, and put their children, and put their neighbors, and put their friends, and put You first in their life. Because, Lord, You love us completely, and we praise You for that. You love us when there's nothing good in us, or nothing seen in us, and nothing good to be said about us. In spite of ourselves, You love us, and You choose us to show the love to other people. Praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing the last song and worship Him.